In today's episode, we talk through some fun fantasy league rule changes that can make your local league even better.
Welcome to the Coach and Commish Podcast. No, not Adam Gase, and definitely not Roger Goodell. It's Chris and Sean breaking down fantasy football for the everyday man.
Welcome back. You're here with the Coach and Commish. I'm Chris. Sean's sitting to my left today, and we're breaking down the rule changes that we discussed at our annual rules meeting because we're that type of league.
We are.
All right. If your league's not like that, why even play? But our local rules meeting, though, most of us were there in person.
Poor attendance, actually, this year.
It was low attendance this year. But we're going to look at those, and some of these are a few big ones we'll put up for a vote in our keeper and our brand new Dynasty League for our local league mates here. But if you're not part of the league, you should listen up because these are some changes or conversations you should have with your league.
All right, and then we're going to move. Actually, first we're going to hit our party question. For today's party question, I thought it would be fun to not only talk about some fantasy rule changes that we enjoyed, but some NFL rule changes. So I'm going to kick it to you, Chris, first. What is a fantasy football related? So this would be something like in your league, like what we will be discussing today that you enjoyed that we made a change in our league.
Oh, I mean, the Reverend Kalana himself brought in this great thing that, you know, he took from some guy named Matthew Berry, but the median win. And early on, we started this when there wasn't the capabilities like you see
inside the platforms,
sleeper. Especially sleeper. Like we had to do this. We had a local accountant, you know, Tidewater Turtles. Shout out to him. Spreadsheet it up and the median win. So for those who don't know it, and Sean, correct me if I explain it incorrectly, but it really does value. It sucks really when you play somebody and you score the second highest amount of points and you lose to the guy who scored the highest amount, but all you get's the L. So what the median win does, it takes whatever the median score is, and if you score above it, you get a half win or a whole win added to your win-loss record.
Yep. Essentially, there's two wins up for grab each week. If you're in the top six scores, you get a win, and if you beat your matchup, you get a... It's kind of like a good hybrid between what used to be points leagues, and I hated those leagues because you didn't have an actual matchup. But yeah, that's a great one. When we get to mine, you'll see why I didn't choose median win, but that would have been mine if I didn't, you know, on brand.
When it comes down to it, we looked at it because every year we look at what would have been just head-to-head wins along with the standings would have changed. And, and most of the time, they're right side by side, but there are a few times, where, especially when it comes to barely getting into the top six or the top four, whatever your playoffs are, that it really did... It was really the difference, but also a positive difference because that team that got in there, their team actually did really well, you know, the whole year.
All right. And then my rule change, like I said, on brand, no more kickers. Getting rid of kickers. I now don't have a single league that I play in that has kickers. Actually, I think most of my leagues don't have defenses as well, which has been everybody's enjoyed that just as well.
That's true.
I fought so hard to get this rule change, and it was like every year I'd get one more vote, and eventually we got there. And I think everybody after that year was like, oh yeah, why didn't we do this earlier? This makes no sense of why we even had this.
And every league I've seen that I'm even in outside of our local guys have gone the same way. I think it finally was a streamlined thing. Getting all those traditionalists to get off their butt and just say, this is how we've always done it. Like, why? Why do we got to depend on some kicker to miss an extra point?
Yeah. So, speaking of kickers, I'm going to actually move on to my NFL one. Ooh. Which is they changed the overtime rules. And I don't think they're perfect yet. I'm not even sure there is a super great answer on how to do overtime. But the fact that they changed that you can't just go down, kick a field goal because you won the coin toss, get that W. I like that you have to get the touchdown or give the other opportunity to a team that didn't win the coin toss. So,
I like the college footballs.
Yeah, I don't mind that thing. Either.
Like, you know, you can back up further for the NFL guys, but everyone gets a possession.
Yep.
To try to match it, to move it on, or to score.
Yeah,
more.
I think they're concerned about their TV overflow and all how long those games will go. Yeah, but that's true. I would love that. Yeah, I'm okay with that as well. All right, what about your NFL rule?
Well, my NFL rule is the greatest NFL rule change of the modern era. All right, some might say, oh, the forward pass, or, you know, I mean, no, this one is more revolutionary than that, Sean. It's the tuck rule. As a Miami Dolphins fan, you know what this started.
Yeah.
It birthed a dynasty and a goat
in the snow
at the same time.
In a playoff game.
And let's just all say it, that was a fumble.
The tuck rule, yeah.
Yeah, like this whole that was such a controversial thing. I don't know where they got it. The whole thing about the NFL being scripted,
yeah.
You might be able to point all the way back then that had to be a scripted thing because no one knew about that before, and then people are still wondering about it after it happened. But that rule, clearing it from a fumble to a whatever the tuck rule is supposed to mean,
yeah,
allowed Tom Brady to be Tom Brady. I mean, we're not saying that's he had to win that Super Bowl to be who he was, but it did. It was craziness, man. I felt really bad for Raiders fans.
Yeah. I mean, we often feel bad for Raiders fans.
They're always, just always feel bad. But I don't know. You guys might hate the tuck rule if you hate Tom Brady, but that was a crazy rule.
All right. Let's move on to the actual rule changes that we discussed. What we're going to do is we're going to kind of break down what we talked about, kind of give a case for and a case against as best we can. We're a little biased here because I think at the meeting, a lot of us agreed on most of these rules.
Right.
So, but we want to give the guys the opportunity who weren't there to actually vote on these. So we'll let you know what needs to be voted on, what doesn't. Some of them are just simple changes. But we're going to kick it off with the Keeper League, and then we'll move on to our Commissioner Bleep over here. to do the Dynasty League. So starting in the Keeper League, the biggest rule change, which was one that I was going to be presenting with Morgan, he was selfish and decided he was going to close on a house on that day.
Oh, he did? So sorry. That's not part of this podcast. That's all I'm like, he did?
He's a homeowner now, which apparently was more important than help supporting
me. He's living off the water in Miami.
Yeah. So what the main idea of the rule change was, I wanted to find a way to stop the tanking trades that happened. I'm looking across at the man who's probably the number one defender.
Hey, man.
Got Cooper Kupp, who was not even playing football and was injured, but was able to acquire him through a tanking rule. And for those of you not in our league, we changed up our ADP keeper strategy to it actually is based on what your keepers were the previous year. And what that ended up doing was opening up this wormhole of everybody at the end who knew they could not make the playoffs trying to acquire these keepers who may have lost value for their actual current season. And so I think that was the nature of the rule, wasn't to make something like this happen. It was just an unfortunate unforeseen thing that did. And my big presentation for this was, I don't want this to be the Dynasty League. A Dynasty League is more of that you're going to have teams that are terrible and you're going to have teams that are great and stacked, and trading is the only way you acquire these people. And now that we have this new Dynasty League, I think most people would agree we don't want them to be as similar as they could be if this continues. So my original plan was to present moving the trade deadline up, because we had discussed, I think we might have even discussed this at the end of last season.
Oh, yeah, because I was let's just say the dynasty thing is not like you're tanking and selling away in a keeper league because it's really tough. What happened in our league, it was predator and prey. Okay. And I was the bottom feeder prey. So people are like, let's see what we can take.
Yeah.
From this guy's roster. And then it really flipped it around that way. But
I believe Damian Pierce for Cooper Kupp was potentially what happened in that one.
That's what it was, basically, I think, straight up. Yep.
So moving on to kind of what we decided was, it seemed like most people were not in favor of moving the trade deadline up, which we thought might help because then teams would think they still have a chance. We have a competitive league. I don't think people are going to tank if they actually think they can make the playoffs.
And we were looking at moving it to like week 10.
Yeah, I think it's currently 11
or 12 or something.
Yeah, but, so moving it up to 1 to 2 weeks. But the other option I had was going to one keeper, which I thought would be met with a lot of resistance. But it seemed like everybody there was on board for this. Again, having the Dynasty League, I think, scratches that itch of having a full team that you keep. So I think pushing us more to a redraft feel is, I think, will be more fun. And so the one keeper, actually, everybody who was there agreed that that was the way to go to get rid of this tanking. Because if you've only got one keeper option, it's very unlikely that you're going to be going out and making these tank trades.
No, because, if it means nothing to you. You usually have that one guy that you really, really want. And it's a redraft feel with a hope in the offseason. It's like, I got my building block, but now our draft will be more exciting. I mean, I think there's more talent.
Yep.
You know, we're not looking at RB3s in round two.
Yeah, I actually really get excited about the idea of it. So we will vote on this. For those of you in our league, be looking out. This will be something that I will put in the chat to vote on. So, yep, just go back and listen to this portion if you are in there voting.
Yeah, even for listeners not in our league, you know, we had seven guys in there, but we still had other five. You have to be able to give out a voice. That's why you hear a recap thing like this, and you do put some of the things that are vote-worthy on the as a poll, just so everyone's got a voice for it.
Yeah, and the context is needed, I think. So if you if you're running a league that you're trying to be as serious as we are, as nerdy as we are,
straight nerdy,
doing something like this, I think helps the guys who weren't in the room when we discussed this, because if you just see a one keeper, you're like, what? Why are we going to one keeper? I don't understand.
You know how nerdy our league is, Sean. I got invited like four or five different things that Saturday night, and I had to tell people no.
Yeah.
And they're like, what are you doing? It's like fantasy. Oh, you got a draft already? No, no, no. It's just a rules meeting.
Just to discuss.
They looked at me sideways. I'm like, sorry, I can't do your thing.
Yeah. All right. And then number two was we wanted to fix players that were traded. If they keep their draft value based on being in the same round. I know that sounds super confusing, but in our old style, and it actually applies somewhat in our new style as well, you could keep somebody in the same round, but then they would bump down to the round before. So, for example, if you had two players who their value was supposed to be kept in the fourth, one would bump down to the fifth. And the big discussion that Daniel wanted to have was, if that player's traded, do they now go back up to that value, or do they lock in at that value that was one round below?
Mm-hmm.
Again, this is going to be really confusing to talk about. Daniel's, I think, written a dissertation on it already in the chat, so if you need to go look at it, read it there. But the good news is, if we do vote on and pass the keeper one keeper rule, this will only apply to this specific draft, and then we won't have to worry about this rule anymore. This stems kind of from a draft or a pre-draft trade that me and LaRoyce made, to where he kept Mixon in the second, and I was able to keep that second round value rather than it bumping up to a first, which I didn't have a first round keeper. The way that I looked at it was, our draft board is what I go off of, and once our keepers lock, which is 2 weeks before our draft, I think the players that are kept in certain rounds stay in those rounds, and now you're not only trading that player, but that draft spot. So that's kind of how I looked at it. I'm not, you know, super opposed to this being the case.
Yeah,
I would vote for that before the lock date. That's how it works. So if there was an in-season trade and somebody was kept at a lower round, then they would bump back up. But then once the keepers lock, then I think that it's a draft board that's been set and you get them at that value.
Yeah, and I rode over with the Reverend. He broke down a little more what Daniel was telling me. And I see Daniel's point of view there of like that flexibility of, you know, because even if it benefits from going away or to like to the player, like there is this thing like, should it relock when it moves team? Because the only reason it got bumped down a value or bumped up a value, whatever it is because of what they were on that other person's roster. So I definitely see where Daniel's coming from. And yeah, so it looks like a vote, but hopefully with one keeper, we don't have to see that. And I think that was like something that we didn't really see or care too much because we didn't have so many draft day trades with our keepers.
Yeah.
And so
what we'll do is we'll put a vote up for this. Daniel, like I said, read his explanation. He's kind of the one who understands this even more than I do. So read that before you make your vote. But again, if we vote to go to one keeper, then this will only matter over this little span of time. And then once our draft is complete, this won't matter anymore.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right, and then now what was another big point that was presented today, would have been nice to kind of discuss this at the rule meeting, but
we'll discuss
unfortunately, Phil seems to always be at the center of some of these controversies. but I feel bad for the guy. I feel like, you know, we want him to have the opportunity because he's been, you know, he just feels like the league villain always and gets punched down by everything we say on here. But we are trying to keep to the original rules that we had. And the big rule that he wanted to discuss was we changed our keeper rule, like I said, and he was under the understanding that he could still keep a player on his roster at ADP if it was below the point that they were drafted last season. So his example of who he would like to keep is James Conner. I believe he's a fifth or sixth round ADP pick.
Mm-hmm.
He would like to lock him into that ADP spot. But last year he was drafted in the second, which escalates to a first, and so he would be a first-round pick, which obviously he does not want to do. So that's kind of Phil's case of what he would like to do, but in my opinion, the nature of the rule that we changed was that we were trying to avoid the ADP keeping type of thing. Like, it's more based on how did you do as a GM last year drafting, and then that's the value you get. So David's example was his Zeke. He would have never kept Zeke last year in the third if he was if he had to keep him in the first, which the year prior he drafted him in the second or first, then he would still be a first round pick. He wanted to avoid those type of things, again, pushing more talent into the draft. So yeah, that's a long explanation for it, but that's what it boils down to for me, is that I think we want to get away from ADP as much as possible. I will put the caveat in here that if there's a waiver wire pickup, and this is where I thought Phil might have a case, because I remembered something about ADP mattering and you could keep them at ADP, and that's if you pick a player up off of waivers, meaning they could have been drafted, but they have hit waivers at some point, then their value becomes a fifth round pick. No matter what, that's their value. But if their ADP is below a fifth round pick, then you can keep them at their ADP. So that is where the ADP does come into play, kind of confusing this, but I'm kind of curious your thoughts and if you have maybe a little case for Phil. I think you maybe lean our way, but I want to give his side.
Yeah, I lean the way David, because the new rule that David brought in, that was like the only real caveat I knew too. Waiver wire pickups, fifth and below, depending on where their ADP is. It's hard for me because we made a shift.
Yeah.
Away. We don't want to make a shift back because now it's like, wait a second. You know, your player did drop in value for whatever reason. But the reason why we got this rule in place is it was originally like we want to be able to put guys back in the pool for talent. So I can't really argue for the side of Phil there. Yeah. Because
and you guys can read the chat. He's been going back and forth on why he believes what he believes. He kind of said, you know, his counter argument for why it would be like the NFL is like a franchise tag. I don't know if I fully understand that, but we're going to vote on this. So, everybody,
because it would take like amending the whole thing we just put in place.
And that's what I don't want to do. Like, I don't want to change that. And yeah.
And something that major does have to go to vote and voices for those who aren't in the league. Like, and that's why we're discussing it, because this should have been something part of the rules meeting to be able to elaborate more. But we do need to put that to a vote. But that was quite a curveball today.
Yeah. that's been blowing up our chat for sure. So I don't know if we did a good job of explaining that, but that's as much as I can kind of put to you guys what was going on in the chat today. So we will vote on that. Then moving on, I think we got just some housekeeping ones. They're not really big changes. They're just stuff that I wanted to make sure was avoiding future problems. Trades that involve players that have already played in a game, like a Thursday night game or something. I think we had that happen once or twice last year with LaRoyce. We've decided, and I think this is the way Sleeper will do it. If not, I will have to do it as a commish. We will not process those trades until after all games have been played.
Yeah.
So if there's a player that was in a Thursday night and you guys want to make a trade and one of them's not in Thursday night and you wanted to be able to play them, you're going to have to wait till the end of that week to get them. You could still agree upon it. I would never do that, in my opinion. I mean, obviously, if you're the team that has a player who already played, you might be up for that. But just too many things can happen, injuries, stuff like that. I wouldn't make those trades. But if it does happen, it'll be after. I had a few that I wanted to talk about with handcuffs and Thursday night pickups. Handcuffs meaning it doesn't have to be a handcuff. It could be anything to block somebody on a Sunday morning. You pick a player up, you drop them. Now they have to wait that one day period, meaning that nobody can pick them up. We just want to avoid those kind of nefarious type of things.
Just cruel. Yeah. That's straight up cruel when you do that.
I mean, I get the blocking somebody if you spend your fab on a player and you pick them. Yeah, and then they're on your roster. But just to let them now not be picked up by anybody, I think, is an unfair thing. So I want to hear kind of people's ideas for how to penalize that. I think we all agreed that we don't want that to happen, but how do we penalize it? Fab deduction was one discussed. Not everybody's going to have fab all the time, so it may not be a perfect answer. So again, we're just going to say that that's something you can't do, and that's where we're going to leave it for now.
You will get punched in the face.
The Thursday players, there's been an issue with, if again, same type of thing, if somebody drops them on a Wednesday afternoon, and then they don't clear that 24 hours before the Thursday night game starts, then you can't pick them up.
Yeah,
unable to be used. So I think we're going to just have people, as long as it's before 6 p.m., put it in the chat. If you can't get a hold of a commish, if you can get a hold of a commish, meaning me or Daniel, or actually, yeah,
it's me you and Daniel.
Yeah, me and Daniel in the keeper league. Then you can just let us know that that's what you want to do, and we'll get that done for you, who your add and drop is, as long as it's before 6 p.m. to give us enough time that, you know, I don't want a last minute one coming and then I didn't get to it and we have a certain situation with Todd Gurley and CJ Anderson.
I should have picked up CJ Anderson earlier. I don't know what I was thinking. I know. But I was within the rules, Joe.
We wouldn't have this story to tell. So
I feel so bad for Joe.
All right, and then the last one was more of a fun thing. We've been looking at how to do like a Dundies, crown our champion, and now we have this lottery in the off season. So the rules meeting's not enough for us. The live draft isn't enough for us. We need one more time to get together in the off season, and we kind of already do it, I think, on NFL draft night. A lot of us do get together.
Yeah,
We've done your house, my house. We can kind of rotate where we do it, but I think what we should do is we should do all of that stuff on the draft night, because I think guys already are setting aside that time to completely disregard their family.
Watch the first round of the NFL draft.
So why not come over an hour earlier and we'll go over all that stuff and we'll do the lottery. We'll do crowning our champion and then maybe some awards.
We don't even have to show up an hour early. It takes like 15 legit minutes and then 5 minutes extra for commercials between draft picks.
That's true. Yeah, we could do
it. Just do it
draft.
In between. Mute it and present.
Yeah. So... Whew. I'm going to take a little break here and let Commissioner Bleep, and for those of you not in our league, it's a male part of the body that he's been deemed because he apparently steamrolled everyone and told them this is how the rules are going
to
be.
Yeah, I might have to change that name there, but yeah, I might change it later. Anyway, so the Duh-Duh Dynasty League. First time doing a Dynasty League this offseason, so a couple of these things will just be kind of like, hey, I think we should now add these things on, but there is something we do need a vote on. But first thing was brought up was about having our regular season of the Dynasty League match up with the Keeper League, because you know we have two leagues with exact same players playing in it. And we decided no on that, and it'll be more here later that we'll get to. But one simple thing to say to it was a great thought to build a little more rivalry in there, but we also want these leagues to be two different things.
Yeah.
These guys need to be two different things. We don't want to make it all one.
And that plays into the next one, which I just moved up beyond the dock for you.
Yeah, I saw that. I was like, whoa.
We'll discuss the division thing, because I know Tim brought it up. He was a big advocate for it in our Keeper League, but what did we kind of decide
there? Yeah, so it was brought up, should we do divisions? And I think it wasn't like, you know, we love the fun in the Keeper League for it. But Tim brings up a great point, and he's my co-commish, for not to do it, just to keep it different. If we do too many things that copy something that we hold on to so much, and then we don't allow this to be what it can be.
Really, Tim did not want to be in Morgan's league again, or in his division again, is what I was hearing. So, Morgan, take that and, you know, enjoy that little nugget.
Yeah.
But the other thing I was going to say is not just to keep it different, but also I think in Dynasty you can have, like we've said already, people separate. And you're going to have teams that are really bad and teams that are really good. And if you have two or three of those bad teams in one division, somebody just gets a free playoff ticket, and I don't like that. So.
Like our league in the Keeper, when it was me and Mike at the bottom? Yeah.
So we won't do that to everybody, I think. We'll just do a 1 through 12 and kind of the old school way.
And something I'm going to bring up, we brought up at the end, but we bring to this. So we can still vote for it. I'm going to put it there because we had seven guys there, and we were pretty unanimous, but it's still a vote-worthy thing for everyone's voice to be heard. But this was also brought up about if – not going, just keeping it 1 through 12, that like the strength of schedule that we'll build up from this year, we're going to research it in the off season of like helping it build the schedule for next year, because we're maintaining the same team. So we would, you know, try to make it to where the bottom dwellers aren't just getting beat up by the guys up top, but it actually kind of allows you to build up wins and losses as your team gets stronger. It was something a little more with the fairness of how the schedule will be played out the next fall, you know, the next year. So that's something where we can kind of tinker with it. But that's something that we could do with
I say that we assign a Kalana, and I'm including Matt in that. So.
Ooh, Matt is a Kalana. Forgot.
I think that those one of those three was. I mean, David suggested it, and then we got the accountant and like the coding guy. So
it will be something that will be more visited next off season, like immediately.
Yeah.
But we wanted to put it out there
this
now.
This is like the NFL. The NFL does this. They create a schedule that is based on how people performed last year to give a strength of schedule.
Right. Should we have like a primetime game? Like based on your schedule, you will be the primetime fantasy matchup.
Yes. Yes. Somebody do that.
All right. Are we doing, this is the fourth thing that was brought up. Are we doing a lottery for the first rookie pick? And it's a no. Yeah. I think we just keep it to those that the bottom guy needs that number one pick.
Yep.
So it's going to be different. I mean, it was pretty even there. But we also had to talk about tanking prevention. Tanking does happen in Dynasty.
And that's fine.
That's fine. But, you know, we wanted to police it in a certain way. So let's say we don't want to be starting bench players, like not just fantasy bench players, but bench players on NFL rosters.
Yeah.
Like a QB2 that
putting
you know,
in the worst possible lineup you have as opposed to one that can try to win.
Yeah, you're picking up Mahomes' backup, Chad Henne, and playing him in the game. And technically he's active, but he's not playing. Like something drastically crazy like that, we will have to step into. Now, so we want you to put up a competing roster, and if you are toward the bottom, your team won't produce as many points. That's just the nature of the beast. If your team is not that strong, if it's from injury or just bad play, you'll naturally just go down to the bottom. We don't want someone completely like fixing it by just putting awful players.
Yeah, I think the best way to explain it is tanking should happen through trades and creating a roster that is bad or is just young and is ready for another season, not this season. So that's, I think, how you can do the tanking. You can kind of see an example of what Phil has done. He's trying to turn his roster over already. He's decided, I'm not sure this is going to be my year. Let me go accumulate some draft picks. And instead I will, you know, be bad this year and have good draft picks. Mm-hmm. So that's how you should do it rather than your lineup. You should be bad. You're going to lose games. If you play the other team that's also tanking, that's where I think this will come into effect, where people will want to submit bad rosters. And I'm not saying that, you know, if you put in the QB8 ranked on the week instead of the QB2, that I'm now going to say, you know, you deserve to get a penalty, which we'll talk about in a second here. I think it's more like it has to be egregious.
Like, it has to be egregious. It's like, you know it when you see it, right?
Exactly.
Like Tim said that, like, you'll know what it is when you see it.
And we'll vote on it in our chat if there ever comes up. I think most likely what will happen is somebody will just bring it up to a commish or even to the guy you're playing and say, hey, look, I see this and I'm going to talk about it in the chat. If not, can you just fix your roster so it's at least, you know, something that makes sense and is not obvious that you're trying to tank.
So we don't want to like go retroactive and like fix that roster, because then it really hurts the guy that just got the W that it really matters to.
Now, if it does happen, the penalty that we decided, it was going to be a second round pick, but your brother decided to chime in and say that would not stop me from trying to get Marvin Harrison Jr. or Caleb.
Yeah.
Huntley?
No, Caleb Williams.
Williams.
Yeah. I mean, he played, you're talking the old quarterback that used to be the backup of the Packers, but I don't think his last name was Huntley. I don't know if it was Caleb, first name. But yeah, we thought a second round pick, but Mike playing devil's advocate, it's like, oh, that's fine. Like, first round's where I'm going to get my stud anyways.
Yeah, so that first round pick that you're going for, you're going to lose. Not only that, you're not going to win the game. It's going to go to the other team, and you're going to lose your first round pick. So
yeah. If you don't have a first round for that draft coming up, then we'll take your
whatever the next year is. But you're gonna have those picks because you're tanking. So
yeah, and you know, and it sounds like, oh, this is awful. The commish will confront. It's like, we will try to intervene and give you the chance and call you out. But if you're just being egregious and a butthead,
or it gets completely missed and you do it last second, then guess what? That's what's gonna happen. So the point is, don't tank in your submitted rosters. Put in a roster that is actually
tank with dignity. Okay, like that's just the best you could do. You're just losing.
All right, what's our next one, Chris?
All right, limiting the amount of players that can be on the trade block
this
for
is
one
a funny
team.
One mostly.
Leroy's, it doesn't matter, really.
He wants, honestly. I'll voice his opinion here of just. He actually uses the trading block, apparently. I thought it was just like a funny trolling news blurb thing where when that news about my player happens, I put him on the trading block. I forget and I leave him on there. And I think his big thing is he just wants, unless you're like actually looking to trade this player,
yeah,
which the Royce's roster is always. So I can't say.
So that, when he puts it up, it's legit.
Yeah.
He listens to offers.
Just at a certain point after the joke's over, just take him down. Cause I guess there are people that go on to the trading block and say, oh, I can go get this player.
Yeah.
In my opinion, I just look at every roster and think every player is tradable and I'm going to go for it. So yeah.
David wakes up at 5:30 a.m. and looks out on the trade block and hits you up with a text before you wake up. All right, so simple rule things to add in here. We want to emphasize voting needs to be 8 for yes to pass a big rule change.
Yeah, if it's like an in-season simple thing, like we're trying to maybe talk about something that came up that we didn't realize might happen from another rule change, then we got to get something figured out. It'll be just a majority wins, but I think 8 is the right number.
8 is usually the right number for major rule changes. And
in a 12-team league that we have, for those of you, I would do probably 7 and a 10 team.
Yeah. If it's less than that, that's not a league. All right. Should we? I didn't mark this point, but no trading week 13 through 17. So in Dynasty League, trades are always open, it seems like. But what Dynasty Leagues have come to, and other ones that I've played in and even heard some other guys talk about on a podcast, wanting to keep from someone fire selling to puff up one team that's going, like keeping the playoffs pure as possible.
Yes, that's where I think it matters, and I think that's what we all decided, was that the playoffs is where you will not be allowed to trade.
And I, as a commissioner, I'll put that up there just so you can vote on that, so we can have rules. Your opinion can be, if you wanted to make it even further back in the week, or another week or there. But week 13 to 17 really blocks off just before the playoffs and during the playoffs. Also, we are our prize, our trophy. For when I win the Dynasty League this year, will be a trophy. And our Keeper League gets a ring. It's phenomenal. Guys have been doing it really good every year.
Yeah.
Always one-upping each other on how they, what kind of ring they get, boxes
the
and stuff.
The loser buys for the winner.
But here, we're all going to have a trophy that I'll post in the chat. You can find it, like Fantasy Champs and stuff, to where it looks like the Super Bowl trophy, but a little bit of like the Stanley Cup feel, to where we put little placards of the name and the year.
Okay.
So it's something that it's kept, and the winner gets it like immediately as we do the little like rookie draft thing where we have a little presentation, and they keep that trophy for a whole calendar year, and we put their name on it. We'll you'll see a little Venmo thing go out there once we find out a price, and we'll try to split it even amongst all of our teammates or league mates, so we'll have a trophy.
The one other thing I wanted to point out is for out-of-towners, we don't have many, but you out-of-towners will have to come get your trophy, or pay for it to be shipped there, and then same thing when you lose the trophy, you got to ship it back or bring it back.
Yeah, and I'll put
It's 757 is the home base.
I'll put this in the chat because Mike brought this up and I thought he was joking, but he actually kind of makes a good idea. A Pelican case, like it's actually the Stanley Cup where they take that sucker out. Like if you're shipping, I guess that makes a good idea. Like I don't know. So we'll see. Depends on how much that sucker costs. So don't worry.
That's all right. Andy and Mike are never gonna win.
So. Yeah, boom. Yeah, or if you win, you pay for it. And then the rookie draft. So in Dynasty, you only have one draft, which is a rookie draft. Ours is a 3-round one. We're going to host that on Memorial Day weekend. We'll still do a slow draft as we've done before.
Yep.
Just maybe 2 hours per pick.
We'll just kick it off, I think we said, maybe that Friday afternoon.
Yep. And go through there. So just putting that on our calendars. That's when we're going to have our rookie draft. And that's it for our rule changes for both leagues.
Yeah. I don't know if we covered it sufficiently, but hopefully those that weren't in attendance got enough out of this podcast that they can now make some informed votes. So get out there. That's the other thing. If you're listening to this, please go vote. I don't want this to drag on for the next couple weeks. Like, just I hate when I have to text people afterward and be like, I'll pin it. I'll put an ad all. We'll try to do something like that. But hopefully you can find our section there. And actually, what we need to do is maybe this is an opportunity to get this started in the Discord. So maybe we'll talk to Discord expert Tim James.
Yeah, I was like,
the
not
doctor.
Me.
Not an James. MD, the Taj.
Your whole little get out and vote thing sound like a public announcement for like local government. All right, guys, thank you for listening, and until next time,
deuces.
Thanks for listening to the Coach and Commish podcast. Don't forget to check us out on Twitter and Instagram @CoachandCommish. And join our Facebook group called Fantasy Football Advice with the Coach and Commish for direct access to weekly waiver wire and start sit advice.